Let's see. I need some racist podcasts because I hate blacks and stuff. Ah, canned laughter. That'll do.
Hello and welcome to the Canned Laughter Recycling Plant. Scrapping through the can tonight is Simon.
Hello.
Mark.
That's not the intro I wrote for you.
And me, Steph. So how is everyone?
Do you want to know where my day has come in the cycle?
Yes, please.
Today has been a tired day.
Hey, we're back on sort of track.
Well, we're back on the original trifecta of data points.
Yeah.
I think if the pattern is to continue as it did, then next week should be a bad day. Oh, that's not good. And then after that, it should be a good day. And then we're back round to...
tired.
To a tired day again. Yeah, I'm too tired to think of the word.
Don't go messing up this cycle now.
I'm not messing it up, it's fine. It's meant to be tired today.
Oh.
And...
Mark, you sound a bit the dead.
I am feeling rough as fuck.
That's a technical term.
I also
Jesus
don't have a cough
Christ.
I've spent the entire day talking like Batman and or potentially a heavy set smoker from the southern states of America, depending on...
There's a difference?
Well, Batman needs to be at the peak of his physical performance to beat up bad guys, so he can't really smoke.
They're electronic cigarettes.
It's a hipster Batman. He's too cool to actually smoke, but he'll do the electronic. In fact, actually, I was in Manchester last week, and there was pretty much the first shop you see when you leave Manchester Piccadilly train station is a shop that sells like electronic cigarettes, and it's basically you go in and it's just like a long counter. So really like a shallow, wide store. And it looked rather strange, the kind of pimping out the designer aspects of these, quit smoking aids.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was funny, the first thing that I saw going into Manchester. And then the last thing I saw leaving Manchester was a man wrapped in a sandwich board telling me how if I believe in Jesus now, then I'll get into heaven while Christian music blared from his trousers. But I thought... I've gotten by okay not believing in Jesus this so far in my life. I can't hurt to just carry on this way, really. Unless I've been struck down by some kind of biblical plague now, and that's my time to repent and believe in an almighty Lord.
Well, if you have, it took its time.
Yeah, I've been praying for that for
months.
He's a
vengeful God. He's a vengeful God.
He's a procrastinating God.
Yeah.
He's got so many famines and earthquakes to do. Striking one guy down is kind of low on his priority list.
Yeah, there was an old god who lived in a shoe. He had so many famines, he didn't know what to do.
Should I put like a red X on my door so I don't get passed over tonight? But yeah, I'm not feeling great. I had to give a presentation this morning, and basically this was my voice for 2 hours talking to some important clients, and yeah, that was... luckily, we were only presenting to a single guy. Everyone else kind of got tied up and didn't manage to make it, so it wasn't too bad. But
luckily, I had my Batman costume, so it was fine.
Luckily, he didn't ask any questions why my voice was like this. As I stood outside smoking electronic cigarettes.
Yeah, when you told that story about the electronic cigarette shop, I just imagined that it was Batman saying it, and that just made it so much better.
Come to Gotham City Electronic Cigarette Store.
I'm Batman, that's my favourite shop in the city.
Like, if Batman was going to endorse anything, I think it would probably be like lozenges.
Yeah.
Like, in the same way Darth Vader would have to... Didn't Darth Vader do like inhalers at one point? Oh no, he did tunes, and that was for his sore throat as well, I remember. Maybe there could be some potential here with a joint Batman Vader, throat sweets series of internet adverts.
I don't know. I don't see Batman doing this because he's very much an own brand guy, isn't he? He'll probably have his own brand of like bat lozenges, and he'd rather promote those as well. Well, yeah, yeah, everything's on his utility belt.
To his anti-crocodile spray. And
carousel reversal anti-carousel spray.
That's, yeah. He really thought ahead. Batman is the equivalent of Q giving James Bond exactly the right combination of gadgets to escape every pitfall in the film.
Batman's basically a walking library of plot devices.
So I just had this scene in my head where, like, I don't know, someone like the Mad Hatter's got Batman tied up. It's like, right, which one of these fairground rides shall we put you on that's going to kill you? Should it be the seesaw or the carousel? And Batman's going, please carousel, please carousel, please carousel.
Wait, I heard that. Carousel, you say? Put him on the Dodgems.
A little Batmobile-shaped Dodgem.
Bat Dodgem. Bat teacup.
Spin me, Robin, spin me.
It's just a regular fairground teacup, except it's painted black.
And also in the shape of a bat. Would Scarecrow run the haunted house?
Is that him trying to recapture his youth by building the Batman equivalent of the Never Never Ranch?
I think he's basically trying to tap into the emo market.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, he does put like mascara on, doesn't he? Puts that black thing around his eye. In fact, actually, earlier today I saw a GIF showing how Michael Keaton got into the Batman costume, and it looks hard work. Like, the bit where they pull over the mask on the head, it's like ripping through his face. Not ripping through his face, but like, you know, really contorting and stretching his head skin. And
yeah, if it was actually ripping skin through his face, that'd be a problem.
My poor head skin.
It actually was his forehead skin, but not his forehead skin.
Yeah, my poor head skin, not my forehead.
Oh my god. I think this strickening illness is taking my hearing next. Oh.
You know, I'm kind of glad Batman doesn't exist in real life.
Why is that?
And there's one reason for that.
Because you're a super villain? We're onto your side.
I'll come off of it.
You figured me out. I'll come back to that. No, the reason is because...
That's true.
Any kind of Batman I've seen in real life, because I've never been to any events where there's any of the Batman actors dressed up in the costume. I don't know if they happen, and if they do, they probably only happen in the States.
Sorry to interject.
I've never been to one.
Is this the equivalent of getting really upset because it's not the real Santa in the shopping mall?
No.
You're just upset because you've seen one of Batman's helpers dressed up as him.
Bat elves. Just get an emo kid, put him in a hat with a bell, and make him do some forced labour. No, the reason...
Isn't that River Island?
The reason I am glad Batman doesn't exist is because the only Batman costumes I've seen have those kind of fake six-pack abs on them. So if Batman was real, I'd expect those kind of fake six-pack abs to be there. And if it's just, he's got real abs, it's not the same.
Well, in that case, I'd advise you to stop watching the Joel Schumacher Batman films and watch the other ones instead, done by Tim Burton and Christopher Nolan. Not a bat nipple in sight.
Holy bat nipples.
Is that just a regular nipple with like a winged pasty on it?
Yeah, that's bat. There's bat symbol in a.
Do you reckon Batman waxes his chest hair into the shape of a bat on his chest?
Like. Almost certainly. Yeah, I would.
Yeah, that's why. Who? I think that's a given. I think that's probably canon.
Check out my bat wax.
His bat crack and sack.
By that
wax.
Logic. By that logic, do you think Superman has the S waxed into his chest?
Oh, we all know Clark Kent is smooth. He's not
do
a
we?
Hairy man.
Just do
a...
we?
I've told you to stop spending the night with these strange journalists. You never listen.
He told me he was Superman. You see...
He told me he was
he said he'd take me to Krypton and back, and I said, your logic is flawed. Krypton is gone. It's no more. And then he just mugged me.
Nothing else to do in that situation, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, in order to make myself feel better, I've wrapped myself up in bed chair. One of my greatest inventions.
Bed chair is... I want to guess. Bed chair.
Don't. Why? Don't give...
I want to guess.
Emphasis to his deluded fantasy.
I think, but it sounds like a fun deluded fantasy. So I want to guess.
It's just...
It's either...
All right, then.
It's either you sit on a chair with bed covers over you, or you sit on a bed with your legs on a chair with bed covers over you, or you put the chair on the bed, sit on the chair on the bed and pretend you're some kind of king.
And it's definitely not a futon. No, it's the first one. I've basically got my duvet around me to keep myself warm while I slowly pass away into the night.
Slowly.
You know, if I kind of, my sound drops off on this Skype call and you hear a sudden thud, it's probably me keeling over.
Or you dropping your microphone.
Or me dropping my microphone,
I Bagsy his handhelds.
You can have them. I Bagsy everything else.
Oh,
that's fair enough. You can have all his debt then.
I'm not in debt anymore.
That's what you think.
Oh, I knew that renter's agreement I signed with you had many a subclause I didn't see.
Of course it
was,
did.
Was it in the microfiche, dotting the I?
Yeah. It's not my fault you don't have hawk-like vision. Frankly, it's all your fault. Suck it.
Fair enough. But I will say, like, the one thing that does annoy me when I get ill is I realise I'm not Bruce Willis from Unbreakable and I actually don't have, you know... Well, I don't have at least Unbreakable superpowers. Maybe my superpower is just to get ill really easily. Just weakened immune system.
Man, that's put a whole new slant on the National Healthcare Service for me. Go to the hospital to see Timmy. Timmy's a superhero now. He has to spend time with all the other superheroes. He's immune suppressed boy.
Doesn't he grow up to be AIDS man?
Haven't they cured HIV now?
I think they're on the verge of a breakthrough.
Because they,
although the cynic in me suggested by the time they get there, HIV will have evolved again. You're like, I got you now, bitches. Because, you know, HIV is a sassy 20-stone black woman.
Well, didn't she first come to popularity in the 70s?
I say, LaShonda, I'm going to fuck that white boy up.
White blood cells, I show you black blood cells.
I apologise to any race that listens to this podcast. We don't mean it. Please don't hunt us down.
I was pretty racist. It was funny, but it was pretty racist.
Yeah, that's how I like to go. Racist and funny. It's the perfect storm of unacceptable comedy.
Slogan of the BNP.
Funny, yeah. And racist. No, that's just racism. Woo, isn't it?
Well, yeah, the BNP is just kind of dull, dreary British racism. It's like it's the racism that we all hate, but without any of the kind of hilarious Boris Johnson style antics to be like, oh, well, at least there's that.
Yeah, Boris Johnson might be accidentally racist, but he also, you know, gets stuck on zip lines, so you can't really hold it against him. Well, you can. In fact, it could have been like an ethnic minority that sabotaged his zipline as a way to get back at him.
Or it could have been a racist who did it. And then Boris was like, oh, what's going on? And he was like, it was that Muslim guy over there. None of this actually happened, of course. This is just pure speculation.
Wild speculation.
Wild, wild, slightly racist speculation.
Yeah.
Isn't that what all Wednesday nights are for?
The Can Laughter podcast. Dunna, 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 dunna. We just cut it there.
This has been the Fans Turn and Hate the Podcasters episode. It's all right. We're on the internet. They don't know what we look like.
We have one reviewer, and now I'm driving any listeners away.
Yeah, one reviewer who could have been you.
It might have been me. I'm not entirely sure. Maybe someone else listens to this podcast.
Yeah, I've got to say, you know, 4 stars, pretty good. Pretty good first review. No written text, but
yeah.
Can't.
That's because you can't write a review. You can only rate.
No,
you
can write written reviews on iTunes and say.
No, I know, but I thought you couldn't write a review until it had been rated to a certain degree.
Oh, maybe. I don't know, then. That would seem a bit silly, because,
yeah.
You know, if you really hate the podcast and want to say, beware, these are racist assholes, be like, damn it, I can't do this until someone else says they're racist assholes and rates them 1 star.
See, I can't help but think all this is going to get cut.
Don't say things like that, because then we'll have to cut it.
Yeah.
It's going to have to keep on cutting.
Just like last week when Simon...
Dick Tuna, Dick Tuna, Dick Tuna, Dick Tuna.
What? Do I want to know what Dick Tuna is?
No. Carry on.
I don't think I can.
You were saying about last week.
I was just going to say, like, last week where you said you'd put in some tense music and you did, and this week we say, oh, we'll cut that, and now we might actually have to. But, you know, that, if you cut every racist thing we said, there wouldn't be a lot left.
No, there really wouldn't.
We don't mean it, though.
No, of course we are. It's accidental racism.
It's not like, we start in a sentence, I'm not racist, but... Because, you know, that's, like, super secret, obvious racism.
Super secret handshake racism.
Super secret, secret racist squirrel.
He secretly hated Morocco and Mole for being an immigrant. Just...
Well, he's an African, isn't he? Morocco.
Yeah. Coming Morocco over here, Africa, taking our sleuthing jobs. Solving crimes.
Goddamn squirrels.
Oh, it's been ages since I watched that.
It was a good show. Do you remember Squiddly Diddly as well?
No.
Oh, he was on, like, right after Secret Squirrel. I don't really remember much about Squiddly Diddly, to be honest. I think he played the drums in the title sequence.
Oh, wasn't... I can picture an octopus, but I think I'm thinking of Squidward.
Was it in a pineapple under the sea?
I don't know. The image is quite vague. I think it's Squidward, though. Oh, well. Moving on.
Moving on.
Steph, what have you been up to?
In the last week? Not tons. I had a good tabletop thing last Saturday, which was nice. Not that most people care about that. What else have I done? Redecorating the house. Or certain sections of the house. Which I kind of want to talk about, because I hate redecorating. I think it's really irritating. More often... You know, I'm going to have a bit of a moan here about my wife, simply because she'll make plans like, oh, we'll just redecorate all weekend. I'm like, no, because I'll end up redecorating all weekend, because I'm the only one who knows how to do it properly.
Is this the married done... we, which actually means you will be redecorating?
Yes, of course it is. You know, you'll get to that point, Mark, don't worry. When suddenly a single unit becomes a we, and I'm responsible for... everything. it's a fun place to be. But no, I don't really know what else to say. No, I haven't really been up to much else, listening to the podcast. Yeah. And like, which I've come to the conclusion is the worst form of egotism, because I can't defend it. So I listen to it at work, and they're like, oh, were you listening to yourself again? I'm like, well, yeah, but only so I can know how to make it better next time. Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, fuck you, man.
Just next time they accuse you, just turn around and say, I just love the sound of my own voice.
Yeah.
Just go with it and see what they say. I mean, there's a highly good chance they won't, you know, tie you to a tree and lynch you.
There you go. I was wondering where you were going with that.
I'm saying there's a high chance they won't do that. Just like there's a high chance they wouldn't do a lot of things. So
tap dance, for example.
Yeah. I think you'll be all right.
Yeah, I'll be fine. I'm sure they won't kill me with sticks.
Have you ever have you ever thought of just, like, whenever they criticise your neck, just be like, who do you think you are? Do you have a podcast? I do.
Are you rated with a 4-star on iTunes? Because I am. I don't need this shit. And then just storm out. And then kind of come back later and go, I'm sorry, I do need this shit.
Please don't fire me. I need money to live and redecorate my house.
Oh my god, Mark. You are dying over there.
I'll be fine. I've had worse things.
You have?
Yes, but you told me never to talk about that syphilis you got.
Slander.
Slander and racism. We've covered many points on this podcast.
And slanderous racism to boot. I should have said in slanderous racism, Das Boot. That would have been a little bit more racist.
Oh, Christ.
Now we've lost the German listeners.
There you go. Who else? We're still yet to get those Buddhists.
They're holding out. They're good guys. They're not going to... They won't raise a finger. They'll be fine. Just sit there meditating.
Hang on. Back up a second. Just mentioning German isn't... mentioning German isn't racist.
It isn't?
No.
But I'm English. Surely it's racist.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot about this thing that I'm obliged to by my nationality to hate all German people ever. Sorry, German people. It's just the Queen said so.
That's why we live on an island.
Yeah. We live on an island because we're basically like, not playing with you anymore.
Yeah. With the rugby kid.
Oh, God. Mark, I think your thing is spreading
to
me.
Jesus Christ, are you dying?
I think Mark's thing is spreading to me over the interweb.
I've got to leave quickly before everything kicks off.
Oh, maybe we've...
Tell my wife I loved
maybe
her.
Maybe we've got, like, a new movie here, and, like, there's a virus, but it's also a computer virus, and, like, it gets transmitted over the internet and then makes you actually ill.
Oh, you know, that sounded like a good idea until you started to describe it, and then it sounded like an awful idea, so please
and
stop.
We can get Brad Pitt to...
Or a movie by
we
Fox.
We can get Brad Pitt to do the lead actor, be the lead in it.
Oh my God, they've planted a dirty bomb in the internet. And now everybody's dying.
Everyone who uses internet communication will die in the next 3 days. Only Brad Pitt can save planet Earth.
Oh God.
Why Brad Pitt?
I don't know. Probably because the what is it
because
called?
Because he had low signal.
Probably because he's doing World War Z.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that film.
It doesn't look like they're going to be following the plot of the book.
No. That's why I'm worried.
What they should have done is they should have given the film to Alan Bennett, because he did all those Talking Heads series for the BBC. He'd have been perfect for it. Nothing would get me more excited than seeing a film poster with Thor a Hood on it describing the zombie apocalypse.
Not even Cat Daddy?
Cat Daddy, yeah. I thought you were going to go with Billy Dee Williams then from the intonation in your voice.
How dare you? I don't know who busted into the podcast last time and shouted that the name of a beloved actor. But,
beloved actor and hero of Bespin, Billy Dee Williams.
Yes. Billy D. Williams.
Billy D. is not my love.
The D is mostly silent.
Do excuse my dying.
That's okay.
Well, I'm excusing Mark, so... I'm going to have to change the outro of this now. I have to do a new intro as they're waiting in the sick room.
Oh no, just like do a little bit at the end, like in memoriam of Mark and Simon, who sadly passed away making this podcast.
The next 6 months will be simply me talking about my day. Okay.
So
yeah, kind of nice. What? Do you like bread?
Maybe you can set up like a Skype call with some like effigies of us and just talk to them, or like have little hand puppets on your hands, being like, "So Mark, how was your day?" And be like, "Ah, my day was okay. Like, how about you, Simon?" And be like, "Oh, tiring." And
yeah, I'll be able to stick to the cycle then.
Yeah,
this is great. It was shit. It was tiring. Great, shit, it was dying.
Alternatively,
and with the occasional alright.
You could just make lots of calls to the Skype call test service.
I could.
Please record
just
your message
shout echo
for
and
10
hear
seconds,
an echo.
And then I will play it back to you. That was your message. Would you like a lollipop? It's been a while since I called that service,
kinda.
So I'm not sure what the pre-recorded message is right now.
To be honest,
I kind of want a lollipop now.
I want a lollipop now. God damn it.
Simon.
It's
not only are you slowly getting infected by Mark and surely passing it on to me, but now I want a lollipop.
Yeah, I do.
This is
that.
The worst day ever.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh no, that means it's a bad day, which means the data points are ruined.
No, it's okay, Simon. It's just an outlier. We'll ignore it.
Like we did last week. I'm going to continue to ignore it until my theory is proven right, goddammit. How dare you?
Oh, but
any result is a good result.
Except the ones that aren't. We'll ignore them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I do kind of want a lollipop.
We call them outliers.
It's like pizza.
You know,
it's like wanting pizza is always a permanent state of mind.
Ah, yes.
See, I don't have that. I don't really like... I've come to the clue, I don't really like pizza.
Get out.
I know.
I'll take that as cough for get out.
Yeah.
I don't have a craving for pizza like you guys seem to have. I think your blood must be like mostly cheese.
I think that's probably why I have heart palpitations.
That or the imminent ear cancer.
Yeah, the imminent ear cancer. Did I tell you I've got a date for my MRI scan?
No, I thought you'd already had it, but I was holding off asking you in case it was terrible.
Just bring it up on the podcast.
Because then I have to try and sympathise.
Yeah, you have Mark, and I'd be like, oh my god. What? Yeah.
Who? What is?
No, my...
my beer problem.
My MRI scan is next week, so I shall inform you next podcast how it went.
Do you want me to come along and, you know...
Well, they said in their letter to me...
Look.
Like, you might want to bring a dressing gown. So I think it's a bit of a casual affair.
Mark, are you having this MRI at the Playboy Mansion?
Everyone knows that.
I wonder why I was looking at Kate Upton videos all
everyone
afternoon.
Knows the Hef is in the leading mood. Expert in magnetic resonance imaging. It's just it's what he does in his spare time when he's not trying to marry 20-year-olds.
Trying.
Well, didn't the last one run away? I could have sworn I read something like he tried to marry her 3 times and he finally did, but she ran away 2 times before.
No idea.
Like, if I was a Playboy girl, right? Like, I wouldn't...
No, let's see where he's going with
this. Give me a minute,
this.
I'm going to have to process that.
Like,
I'm trying not to.
I wouldn't want to marry Hef, because, like, if you think about it, like, I'm going to find out how many marriages he's had in this intermediate time, but I'm sure Yahoo Answers will know. But, like, you've got to be aware that you're just going to... Well, maybe they're doing it for the money and getting the money in the divorce settlement. But, like, you're not going to be married to the Hef for long. Either he's going to cop it because he shagged too much, or he'll die of old age, or he'll just divorce them, or they'll divorce him. So, maybe Hugh Hefner is trying to, like, bang his 72 virgins in this life.
What on earth makes you think they're virgins?
I don't know. I'm ill, shut up.
There is not a hope in hell of them being virgins.
I don't know.
No offence to any Playboy bunnies listening.
No offence to any virgins.
In fact, yes offence. Stop taking your kit off.
Right. That's interesting. He's only been married twice. Unless he married this last one, who he was engaged to in 2010, where Wiki Answers published this. He's only been married twice before. I thought he'd married a lot. I thought he was like a serial marriager.
A polygamist.
That's what I said.
No, you said a serial marriager, which is not the same, Mark.
Well, I, you know, went into that sentence with the best intentions, but...
And you failed.
I did.
Hey.
No, the... I don't know, I don't... A thing I don't get about Playboy is, like, rabbits? Really? That's what you think is sexy? Small little furry nervous creatures that shit everywhere and live in a hutch.
Maybe that's where he keeps them all at night. He lets them roam the grounds during the day and then puts them in a hutch at night.
Yeah, could well be. And they just sort of pooping little pellets off in the corner.
And drink from that little dripping device.
Yeah. I genuinely want a human-sized one of those. I want to try one. Because they look like the most fun way to drink plain water.
Incidentally, Hugh Hefner is on his third marriage, married on December 31st, 2012. He was 86, his wife 26.
Wow.
Yeah. If it was the other way around, no one would be happy about that.
You could... I'm going to go ahead and say that her prenuptials are probably his actuarial tables. Just try to, it's like, all right, if I go now, if I can last 7 to 12 weeks, I'll get all the money.
Reckon,
I presume this marriage is still going.
Do you reckon Hugh Hefner is actually going to go out of this world banging a young 20-something Playboy bunny?
Going out with a bang?
Tell you what, I'd be upset if he didn't go out that way.
It seems that's what his entire life has been building up to, like dying at peak pleasure. You know, wrapped around the legs of a 26-year-old girl in a bunny costume.
It can't be any fun for the 26-year-old in the bunny costume, having a guy in his mid-80s with his cock inside you, dead.
Maybe it's the, as I've come across before, the ancient rule of finders keepers. Maybe if he's dead, she inherits everything. That's why they have to go at it so hard. Maybe it's in his will. It's like, whoever kills me gets the entire fortune.
Are you saying that basically Hugh Hefner is the human version of Excalibur? Like, whoever can...
the Highlander. There can only be one!
Whoever can pull Hugh Hefner out of his rocky prison gets to be the king of all the land.
Yeah.
Not some watery bint throwing a sword at him.
Okay, there's a potential film in there.
What, like a group of hot 26-year-olds making a pact that one of them will bang Hugh Hefner to death?
Yeah.
And you thought my film idea about internet viruses was silly.
It was silly.
It still is.
Well, it could be a comedy.
I think it would basically be a sex comedy. I mean, I'm not suggesting that I would be good as a directorial role in this film. I just think there's potential if someone would wish to explore it further.
Maybe the internet virus is transmitted via chat roulette. Oh, sorry.
Oh, if only there was a virus transmitted through chat roulette, that would kill off 90% of the people I hate.
Oh, what if it was transmitted through Reddit, and like the film is like a bunch of survivors like in a cabin in the woods trying to keep away from being on Reddit. It's like, man, I need to watch this AMA, man. I need to watch it. Like, dude, don't do
there
it.
There is an SNBC theatre sketch that's a lot like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out at some point.
I'll see if I can dig that up.
But
is it the internet one? Yeah.
There is actually a film about not a sex comedy, but a comedy about a girl who becomes a Playboy bunny to pay for her boyfriend's medical care while he's in a coma. But he thinks she's left him, so he goes on this crazy road trip with his best friend to win his girlfriend back from the Playboy mansion. It's actually pretty good. The Skype cinema review by Mark.
Sorry, I'm still looking for that video.
That's okay, at least I didn't get a tumbleweed sound.
Tumbleweed. Every now and then I get it. No, that's not it.
Isn't she doing the UK entry for the Eurovision Song Contest, Bonnie Tyler?
Yeah, she is. That.
Yeah, she is.
They got my letters.
Oh, Christ.
Next year it's Michael Bolton, bitches. If Katrina and the Waves can do it and they're American, I see no reason why Michael Bolton couldn't represent us. Except he probably wouldn't. He's quite a busy man. Although I was gutted that I missed his AMA, but there's apparently some videos of his Reddit chat online somewhere, so I need to dig those out and have a look and see what I missed out on. I also got really annoyed because I missed the Nick Offerman second AMA last week because, you know, it happened while I was at work and I had work to do, so unfortunately I couldn't partake in his AMA as much as I'd love to. Actually, did I tell you, for the briefest period of time that Nick Offerman was actually on Twitter, he favorited one of my tweets. I mentioned him, and it was a picture of him looking really drunk with Adam Scott, who's also in Parks and Rec. And I just put something like, I love this photo, guy crushes. And then he favorited it, and I kind of melted into a small pool of putty, like Alex
putty.
Mack.
Putty.
Small melt mound of pudding.
It was chocolate. That's interesting. Like, what is your, would you say, best brush with a celebrity then? Like, have you actually met any celebrities in person that you...
I've met a few.
Any you care to talk about?
I shared several beers with the entirety of the Fratellis once.
Really?
Yeah, well, they did a gig in Leicester, and we went to a bar afterwards, and they just turned up, and I was like, oh my god, oh yeah, it's Fratellis. And, like, me and Nick had picked up some... The guy broke his drumsticks halfway through, so we picked up the broken one. We each have a half. So we got them to sign that, and then just bought them drinks and started chatting. They were nice. Cool. I mean, the thickest accents you'd ever heard, but fuck me, they were nice
That's
guys.
Cool. How about you, Simon? Any brushes with fame?
Not really, no. No.
Wow, that's a great avenue of questioning.
No, it was, you? Actually. I gave you the answer you were looking for. The answer just happened to be no.
That wasn't the answer I was looking for.
Well, it's the answer you got.
Don't Obi-Wan me. This isn't the answer you're looking for.
Ladies, please, come on. We're all friends here. Well, mostly.
I've had a couple. Nothing super. No one super fame. Well, depends on how you quantify fame. Like for my 12th birthday, and this is probably why I hate my birthday now. It's these deep seated memories that I have on my 12th birthday. My mother, brother, and myself were in Doncaster Town Centre. I was you know, we'd just gone to, I don't know, have a wander around the shop, see if there's any offers on pre-Christmas. And Mum saw that there was a talk/book signing being given somewhere, I can't remember whereabouts it was, by a former Ofsted inspector turned writer, Gervase Finn. And he basically writes humorous takes on his time spent going from school to school, such as the time he talked to a kid about why there was no bullying in his school, and he said, and the kid replied to him, "There are no bullies, sir, because I beat them all up," which I thought was a nice little anecdote. But yeah, he was doing a reading from his new book, whatever was released 13 years ago, when he got around to reading from the book, because there were a lot of parents who dragged their unwilling offspring to go listen to this Yorkshireman speak, he kind of beckoned for all the kids to come down and sit in like a crescent shape in front of him, you know, hands like sitting on your legs, hands on knee style, like kids do. And I was like, "No, I'm not going to do that." And he's like, "No, come on." And Mum's looking at me, she's shooting daggers my way. I'm like, "I'm not a child, I'm not going to sit at the front. Today is my birthday, I am 12. I'm not..." Like, all the other kids there were like 5, 6, like no one, like half my age at best. And he's like, "I'm not going to start this reading until you come and sit at the front." I'm like, "No, I'm not going to do it. I will gladly sit here, listen to you talk about this book you've written, but I am not sitting at the front with these little kids. I'm not a little child." And like, my brother is kind of caught halfway, because he was like, "Yay, sitting at the front!" And I was having none of it, until Mum kind of took me by the arm and kind of threw me to the front of the room. And I had to sit through a 15-minute reading from his new book about being a school inspector while loathing him. So yeah, that was one of my brushes with fame. I've also met Lizzo Mazimba and Lisa Riley, but that was at the National Student TV Association Awards. So they
oh yeah,
I see.
We
now you've got people to talk about, Simon.
Yeah. Who did I talk to at NASTA?
I don't know.
Oh, no. Oh, fuck, I can't remember her name. No, I'll have to think on that one. But I basically had a talk to her about getting into the TV industry, and it was a good and productive talk.
Yeah.
Lisa Rogers.
Oh, that's who I meant, not Lisa Riley, Lisa Rogers.
Yeah. I basically walked away with that thinking, right, I have a clear idea. I do not want to work in the TV industry.
I do not want to present a show about metal with Robert Llewellyn.
Well, I would not be averse to presenting a show about metal with Robert Llewellyn, but basically, I don't want to be, you know, someone's coffee bitch for 9 years, and then maybe I get to research some stuff about shoes for BBC Four. that was basically the gist of what that's what the BBC ladder is like, right? Or the TV ladder.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the reason that I kind of gave up. Like, if I was going to get into TV, I would have to go in as either a writer or a producer. I couldn't work my way up being, as you say, a coffee bitch. For the fact that I'm in the industry will get me my leg up. It's like, no, I want to be recognised for what I can do, not for you know, the fact I can get Milk No Sugar right.
Yeah, well, I could get Milk No Sugar, right, because it's how I take tea, but that's not the point. Yeah, the point is, I've never liked that idea of, oh, become a runner, and then you could just fuck off.
Yeah.
Like treat your employees with respect. If they are good coffee getters, then fair enough, but if they're better writers, then put them on your writing team.
Yeah, it's such
otherwise, it's just a waste of talent.
It's such a fucked up way of doing it, that it's just...
And so the Can Laughter podcast didn't break into Hollywood. It remained three guys sat over Skype.
Hey, we could still break into Hollywood. We were just talking about the BBC. We'll never get a...
Ah, man, fuck the BBC.
No, we could break into Hollywood. I mean, I've got a crowbar somewhere. That's what you meant, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
We'll steal all the
bombs. If we go...
Balaclavas, and Mark's got the voice for it.
This summer, coming to a cinema near you, three English idiots break into America to steal Hollywood.
Just break in to steal the entire town.
Yeah.
Lift it out on a crane.
Yeah.
Now, there's a film I would watch.
Can we call the film Little Trouble in Big Tinsel Town?
No.
Or maybe just Trouble in Tinsel Town.
That's already a thing, isn't it? Yeah, I'm sure that is it. I'm sure it is.
Or we could call it Hollywood Heist. And we can get Ben Stiller and Mos Def to be the leads. Maybe Liam Neeson will play their mentor. There's probably a reason I'm not making films.
I don't know, I think there is potential there. I mean, it's obviously absurd, but it's a good kind of absurd.
Yeah, I mean, Ben Stiller will do anything these days, and Liam Neeson is kind of getting that way as well, so... Maybe if we put Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson as the leads, because they come as a package, right? Oh, have you seen the trailer for their new film? I thought it was going to be set in the 70s or something like that, but then I realised it wouldn't work because of the topic. But just the way it was shot made it look very kind of 70s cinema-esque. But it's basically about two guys who pretty much have never heard of the internet, whose company goes under, so they decide to get internships at Google. And it's one of those films that I really hate because you can basically, after that description, just use the words, hilarity ensues. And if that is how you can describe your film, it is a fucking atrocious film that you have made. And it looks terrible because it's like, oh, these two guys, they're fun and they're a fish out of water. Watch them, all these geeks, and now they're cool. And
Oh, that's just the worst.
I know, it looks terrible.
Oh.
Because I thought it was going to be...
When you say hilarity, do you hilarity with the wiggly
hilarity
fingers?
Hilarity ensues.
Comedy for idiots. It just looks bad. Because I thought when I first looked at it was going to be like The Social Network and be like a film about the founding of Google. But it really isn't. And it looks bad. It's... Yeah, it does not look good. But it's one of those films that's going to do well because it's got Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson as the tide leads and... You know, their careers have been circling the drain for years now. So
this is obviously the thing that washes them straight down the plug hole. Hopefully. Well, it's not going to be, is it?
No.
It should be, but...
Because there's going to be the inevitable internship too, and this time they're the bosses and they've got to hire someone.
And then we recycled the same plot point over and over again.
Hangover 2 is still one of my least favourite films of all time, just because it is literally a copy and paste job. There's nothing that happens in that film that didn't happen in the first film. Everything is recycled. Between like Mike Tyson waking up with an exotic animal, Ken Jeong being crazy, them losing someone who turns out to be in the same building they started in. What's his face? Zach Galifianakis drugging them. Like, that was the point in the film that really lost it for me when... Because I thought, okay, I can get behind the fact Ed Helms has physically deformed himself again. I can get behind the fact that Bradley Cooper still remains ruggedly handsome despite having a crazy night on the tiles. You know, I can get behind the Russian mobsters instead of Chinese gang members. I can get behind all of that. But when it was revealed that Alan had drugged them a second time, I was like, I just thought, why couldn't you just let them get fucked off their faces? Why did you have to bring drugs into it again? That was the point in the film that I was so close to turning it off, but I was about 20 minutes from the end, so I kind of saw it through. And I was. Have you seen the trailer for The Hangover 3, incidentally?
No, I've heard about it, but I refuse to.
It basically looks like the three of them return to Vegas to blow it up. It looks like almost a. Like a gang film, like it's almost like Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels kind of film. I'm surprised Vinnie Jones wasn't in the trailer.
Jason Statham.
Oh, Jason Statham. Yeah, it looked like one of those films where he'd be like, "Yeah, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
I'm gonna fucking fuck this place up. You fucking fuck like that."
When's Jason Statham been Australian?
Look, we've established I've got good accents.
Is this when
he
starred in his film Crank in Crank 2?
Crank.
Isn't it the Australian subtitle, Australian dubbing of Crank? Now we've just lost the Australian listeners. Oh my god. Alienation time.
We've got to keep working. We've got to keep working.
Every, like, hey, New Zealand, you like sheep. Have you met whales?
That's two more down. I'm assuming the angle is if we offend absolutely everyone ever, then relatively it's okay.
Yeah, that way we're not targeting a particular subgroup or ethnicity or background. We're universally racist. Hey, white people, they suck, right?
Yep.
Yeah, white people do suck.
Oh. But no, yeah, Hangover 3 just looks awful. And the one thing that annoyed me most about the Hangover 2 was Justin Bartha, because obviously he went missing in the first film. I thought, oh great, he's actually going to be in the second film and be one of the main guys getting fucked up in Thailand. And then he, like, in the film, he basically leaves early and appears in two of the scenes. And it's just wasted. It's like, everyone liked the other three guys. Sorry, Justin Bartha, but it's like he didn't get a chance in the first film to be, you know. It's basically the same way they edited more of Frankie Boyle onto Mock the Week when they realised that everyone liked Frankie Boyle. And then he offended the Queen's vagina and everyone hated him for a brief period of time. And then he grew a beard and looked like a ginger Scottish tramp. It's the Frankie Boyle career arc right there. Do you think Frankie Boyle started as someone who got tea for everyone else? And that's how he worked his way up to Mock the Week?
Probably not. I think he just started on the comedy scene and did his time.
Yeah. So you see, there's other ways to do it. So if we want to get into that, we should probably continue pursuing those other options.
One of these days.
One day.
One of these days, pow! Straight to Media City.
Bad Doom, straight to Media City.
No, you're pronouncing it wrong. Straight to Mediocrity.
What, BBC Three?
Oh, topical.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I see you're still dying. But...
yeah, I'm still dying. My last wish is to insult as many people as possible.
Well, better get on it then. Yeah. Fucking Hungarians and Romanians and
Bulgarian
vegans.
Pizza delivery men.
Vegan, fuck man, fuck vegans. Eat food. I mean, I'm fine with vegetarianism, but for God's sake, like, that's taking things too far.
It's like, if, like, God didn't want us to eat meat, he would not have made it delicious. And the animals be slow and stupid enough to be raised in captivity to then be slaughtered and sold for their flesh. You know?
Yeah.
That's why you don't see many cheetahs on the menu, because they leg it. They're like, I know what's going on here. I'm not going to be dinner.
Also, they can rip your face off.
Well, yeah, there is that as well.
Whereas, what's a pig going to do?
I'm sure they're pretty, you know, tough.
What, like the meat?
Yeah, I mean, they're constantly running. There's supposed to be high muscle content, so...
You just got to slow cook it.
Are you suggesting we start selling cheetah veal, where we tie down their youngsters?
That's almost like the most insane insult ever. We're just going to slow cook this really fast animal. So, fuck you, even in death.
In a stew of some kind.
It's big cat stew. That's it. We should totally open a restaurant that just serves big cat stew. That's legal, right?
Where are you guys going this week? Well, we're going to have to go back to Africa.
Can we call our restaurant Animal House? Or is that like trademarked and stuff?
I think it's probably pretty much.
How about Endangered Animal House?
That's probably not.
Who wants elephants?
An elephant isn't a big cat. Unless...
come on, Mark. If you've got to stick to marketing, stick to your guns, honestly.
Elephants don't have guns.
I'm now thinking, what happens if you mix an elephant with a cheetah? You basically got an elephant that can run at 80 miles an hour.
A chelephant?
So a hippo.
Yeah, and has spots.
You've just described a spotty hippo.
It's what I do best.
Let's take this animal, mix it with this animal, and see what existing animal it's kind of like.
Well, I mixed a zebra with an emu, and I got a zemu. Still a weird shape, but now it gives you a seizure when it runs.
Do you think they have to put, like, epilepsy warnings when they take African tourists to see zebras?
Thank you for listening to the Candle After Podcast. Recycling old material tonight has been Simon.
Fare thee well.
Mark.
Goodbye. Bye.
And not catching internet syphilis has been me, Stefan. Good night.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas where lesser genes have been banished.
Wow.
I, for the record, I have never written a song for the KKK and I would not take them up on such an offer. Musical theatre, however.
Yes.
I'm not entirely sure we can top that.
So, I know, I would love to write a musical for the KKK. Because I figure if you got a bunch of white supremacists, what's the best way to show them up? Have them dance around the stage like a twat.
Just wondering, I feel pretty. Oh, so pretty. I feel pretty and witty and completely straight.
And white.